takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, you know, when we talk about somebody rejecting the gospel, sometimes we think, well, there's a stubborn person, and that may be very well be the case. But probably more often than not, what we're dealing with is Satan himself intervening to stop somebody from salvation. When you consider the fact that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, then you have to realize Satan doesn't want even one soul to get saved. He doesn't want any glory to go to God. He doesn't want any more in the family of God. So he's going to steal anything he can to prevent people from accepting the gospel. A familiar passage in John chapter 8 tells us two truths about him. Number one, he's a liar. Devil is a liar. And that he's a notorious liar. He's a habitual liar. Everything he says is a lie. We have to keep that in our minds. And number five, in that same passage, he is a murderer. And that goes back right to the beginning. This is what he did basically with mankind, putting on us the death sentence by tricking Eve, and certainly encouraging that in Cain as well, physical. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says he promotes disunity. And that is unfortunately a very common problem in Christianity. There is disunity, and if the devil can, he will promote that all the more on minor issues and on major ones. He'd love to see a church split, and he would love to see just two people in the church arguing, bickering, not being able to get along. He'll promote that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're familiar with these verses, but consider these in respect to the devil as far as his character is concerned. What is it that he is doing? Well, according to this passage, he blinds people to the gospel. So 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it's veiled, it is then veiled or hidden to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, the glorious Christ, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. He doesn't want anything from Christ to get their way, so he doesn't stand in front of that and try to block it. He's not big enough for that. But he does blind their minds so that people cannot see the truth. And you've run into this with people. You've given the gospel to people, whether it's by just handing a tract, speaking the word, or even going along a certain way, and it's like they have no idea what you're talking about. One and one do not equal two in your explanation to them. It's as clear as day to you, but they can't see it for anything. And it's the strangest thing, because it makes so much plain sense. You can show them in Scripture. You can tell them by personal testimony. And what do they say? I don't get it. That's Satan blinding their minds. He does keep people, number 8, dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2. In that same chapter, number 9, he propagates disobedience among non-believers. In particular, that passage is talking about how he works to try to keep people in a disobedient state to the Lord. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Number 10, according to Ephesians 6, we're familiar with that passage, verses 10 through 18, he fights against believers. We are in a battle, according Testament to New when they shouldn't be. Some things should be from the Old to the New, and that's what makes it confusing for us. But he will promote false doctrine. Number 14, you turn over to 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John 3, he tells us that the devil is a consistent sinner. Take a look at this. We should know this anyway. It says in verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins and continues look at me and hear me, I'm not that impressive. And I know when you look at them and hear them, they are impressive. Is that what you're basing your belief on? That's a problem, is it not? Maybe I'm not the smoothest talker. Maybe I'm not the nicest dresser. Maybe I have this appearance that doesn't look so good to you, he says. These guys, they've got it all put together, except in what they say. And who follows who? Well, Paul doesn't look so good. He's a fish. Like the clothes they wear, the way they speak, the control of the audience that they have, it's just wonderful. It makes me feel good. That was the problem. Now, Satan is not alone in his wicked ways. Satan has demons that are under his authority and that act in the spirit world to influence men against the truth. And that's what we read about in Ephesians chapter 6. It's not just saying that we're wrestling against Satan, but it's against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. So multiple enemies of the Lord, enemies of Christ, enemies of believers. But additionally, and perhaps even more influentially, his impact has affected many people in a religious world to oppose the truth or simply to distort the truth, thereby confusing people from understanding it and accepting it. So he's using not just demons, he's actually using people. And we're not going to see the demons, but we are going to see the people. And demons don't have websites, and they don't have YouTube videos, and they don't sell books. People. So that's what is going to attract us. Even the conclusions of believers on what we see and hear can be mistaken by their teaching. Believers need to be on alert at all times because spiritual truth is always being distorted. And it's an amazing reality that the more I dig into scripture and doctrine and all of that, as I've told you before, I am very careful in what books I buy, especially for Bible study, preparation for teaching and preaching. And I get what I believe to be the best of the books that are out there. First, the author has to be a believer. Secondly, he has to be a solid believer and consistent in his, what I know of his lifestyle and his teaching and doctrine and all that sort of thing. And then he has to know what he's talking about. So I want to make sure I'm getting those sorts of resources. But even in those resources, I can't just say, this guy's right, I'm sure, so I'll just go along with it. I have to be discerning as I'm reading it, and so I go from him to him to him to him to him and make sure all of them are in agreement on that before I decide, okay, this is something that's safe to present. And I'm doing that, why? Because I know for experience that false teaching and distortion of the facts, those are out there all over the place. And if they're in good Christian books, can you imagine what they are online? Can you imagine what they're like in your average book, your quote, Christian religious book? Those that oppose or distort the truth are false apostles, false teachers, false prophets. They don't advertise themselves as that. Instead, what they do is they make a good religious appearance. They use scripture. They develop a religious following. They hold good standards. They sound Christian. They provide interesting resources. And they feign to be ministers of Christ. So, up front, it looks good. Way back, we had done a study, a few years ago, on some of this information where we went through some people and religious organizations. I don't know if you recall, but I read some of their doctrinal statements, and their doctrinal statements were almost identical to ours. And they say, you don't believe such and such. They'll say, yes, we do. Look at our doctrinal statement. Seriously dangerous. We're in 2 Corinthians 10. Jump over to chapter 11. This is a familiar section of Scripture as well. We're still talking about the devil, characteristics of the devil. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, which is a familiar section, Paul says this, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So he's describing the false apostles, which are those that claim to be delegates of the Lord, and yet they are definitely not. How does Paul know that they are not truly apostles of the Lord? Well, it's their methods that betray them. It's not what was on their doctrinal statement. I mean, that could be a dead giveaway. But where they still held, claimed anyway, to hold to the same doctrines, he said, watch their lives. Because a person's life and his, quote, doctrine have to go together. And if they are not in perfect sync, something is wrong with that person. And if it is a spiritual leader, and he says one thing and believes or acts a different way, he is definitely not who he claims to be. How serious is Paul in this area, in this section? This is the heaviest material in all of his writings. He gets very serious on this. He knows that their methods have betrayed their stand. Take a look in verse 13. Their false apostles being, next two words, deceitful workers. Workers that deliberately deal dishonestly. That's what Scripture is describing here. These aren't people that have made a mistake, that put this in their doctrinal statement, and didn't realize